Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Not so good breaking news here on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of October 5th and 6th. I heard this news earlier, early this morning, made my way down here to the studio. Just from DEP's Fish and Wildlife, the fall trout stocking program, immensely popular. Well, the first week, October 8th through 11th, the stocking has been canceled due to extremely low water conditions in the northern portion of the state. Also, the central portion. Waters affected in the Rack and Fin Radio area include the north and south branches of the Matitoconk Rivers, the Toms River and the Toms River Trout Conservation Area, and the Manasquan River. Again, rescheduled for the 22nd through 25th, but one more time, no guarantee on that. We need rain, and we need rain badly. On the upside, the water to be stocked October 15th and 16th include primarily Central and South Jersey waters, and that's a go. For the 15th, we're looking at Gianpietro Park Pond, the Morris River, Mary Elmer Lake, Hamilton Lake, Crystal Lake, Sylvan Lake, Oak Pond, and Grenlock Lake getting stocked. And on the 16th, Greenwich Lake, Iona Lake, Shadler Sand, Wash Pond, and Swedesboro Lake. We'll have more news on this next week. Hey, we have a really jam show getting it together coming up in our next segment. We have Dave Golden. He is the New Jersey DEP Fish and Wildlife Assistant Commissioner. We're talking the bear hunt coming up in a couple of weeks. So grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio Jam Show. We're also going to get in some windmill stuff and some legislative stuff and news from the NGOA regarding the Ed Markowski shoot in a couple of weeks over there at Red Wings Sporting Clays. Jam Show. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of October 5th and 6th. Hey, people, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, South Jersey's top-rated talk station. Also, WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live on outside WPG1450.com. From 7 to 8 a.m., we're locked into 50,000 megafar reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app or go to YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and whatever other avenues. The Rack and Fin Radio message is out there. Okay, deer season going strong. Trout season, maybe. We'll see. It's going on at the water levels. Supposed to kick off next week. We'll talk about that maybe in another segment next week. See what's happening. Hey, good luck to the youth up there in the North Zone waterfowl, youth waterfowl hunt next week, October 12th. We'll be in the South Zone. Following week, we'll be in the Coastal Zone. But hey, to paraphrase my man, Patrick McManus, yeah, I thought, what about bears? Hey, the bear season will be starting October 14th through 16th, archery only, and October 17th through 19th. That's segment A. Segment B will be December 9th through 14th. That's shotgun and muzzle loader only. And we're seeing some bears in our travels up through there. It looks like you have five bear hunting areas in eight counties. Okay, northwestern New Jersey. Get your permits for $2, and if you want to get a bear, Jersey is a place. Joining us on the line right now, a very special guest, when we can get hold of him, is Dave Golden. He's the NJDEP Fish and Wildlife Assistant Commissioner. We're going to talk about Jersey bears. They are big, they are beautiful, and they are plentiful, and we're expecting a good season. Dave, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tom P. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Dave, always great to have you, man. You are the man, the one, the guy. You are Dave Golden. Now, Dave, last year we had an overall harvest, 493. Percentage of the tag bears was at 19% as opposed to the 30. We had the extended segment. How's it look for this year? I mean, what are the biologists telling you?
Well, the health of our population of black bears in New Jersey is just excellent. So weather dependent, I think we'll have an excellent first segment this year.
And Dave, there's a good mass crop going on up there. Now, listen, there's the new regulations about being 300 feet from bait, whatever. That's grist for another show, but actually it's going to be in another segment. But Dave, the bears, and they're big, they're plentiful, and the sows, I mean, I told you off the air, we saw a sow with four cubs. There's been as many as six. Just the quality of the habitat, even though all the development up in northwestern New Jersey, it's nothing short of phenomenal. Listeners, these are the most studied bears in the world. the New Jersey bear population. And Dave, it's just the population holding steady. We're seeing an increase. What's the dealio?
Yeah, well, it is, like I said, a very healthy population, and it is a well-studied population. You're talking about cub numbers on average in New Jersey. Our bears have 3 cubs per female, which is high nationally. You're yep. right. We have seen females having up to 6 cubs. Average weight for a female is running right around 185 pounds, and for a male, they're over twice as much at 400 pounds. That's their average male weight. So great population, great opportunity for people to get out there. We have, you know, great management, wildlife management areas up north, federal land. So a lot of opportunity and a really healthy black bear population in New Jersey.
And let's just tags, bear permits are plentiful. Dave, based on 100, what's the number? Based on 160-something, whatever, tag bears, reaching that 30 percentage, whatever they can, you can stop on, whatever. That never seems to happen, even with the extended, you know, have another segment in there. Is that a pie-in-the-sky number, or at the 19, 20%, 18%, is that pretty steady what's expected?
Yeah, so we have checks in place that prevent the population from over-harvest, and that's that 30% that you talked about. So we go out, we tag bears, and then at the check stations, we keep track of those tag returns. So there's triggers in place that if we don't reach 20%, then the hunt gets that 4-day extension. If we were to ever reach 30%, a harvest rate of 30%, that's when the hunt immediately stops, and that's a mechanism in place to prevent over-harvest. You're right that we've never reached it. We've come close.
Yeah.
If memory serves, back in 2016 when we first started the archery season, that early segment,
I remember
we
that.
Came
yeah.
pretty close, but we've never had to use that trigger to shut off or stop the hunt early.
Very special guest on the Rack of Fin radio line this morning, October 5th, Dave Golden. He is the NJDEP Fish and Wildlife Assistant Commissioner, talking about the bear hunt, which commences in October. Let's see, we're starting here. October 5th, 14th through 16th, archery only. 17th through 19th, archery and muzzleloader. Now, the December 9th through 14th season is shotgun and muzzleloader only. If Dave said the percentage isn't reached, they will have an extended hunt, extra few days the following week. Dave, weather plays a big factor in the success of the hunt, the harvestable numbers. Last year, 492, 493, whatever it is. That's a good number. Is that within expectations?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable number for our state. And you're right. It is very weather dependent. The early season, this October segment, we tend to get more bears. There's just more activity. The weather tends to be a little more predictable. As we move to that second segment in December, higher unpredictability in the weather. Some bears may already be dormant. So we would expect the first segment for the harvest numbers to be higher. But I think, you know, we're in that range. That 500 bear range seems like a reasonable amount.
Okay, Dave. Well, Dave, listen, we're up against a hard break. Thanks for joining us. You're super busy schedule. But one question I have to ask you, as passed on to me by easily a dozen or so people I've spoken to, people from South Jersey who hunt North Jersey, Central, North Jersey, all around. Excuse me, the thing is, if they, meaning DEP, wants to get the bear harvest numbers up, why not extend the October season an extra week as per, again, as you mentioned, the vagaries in the December week-long season? Is that even possible? Does that have to go through the council, through the legislature? How does that work, and has that even been given any thought?
Yeah, fair question. From a process standpoint, it would need to go through the council. Our Fish and Game Council, they have the legislative authority over changing the hunting and trapping and fishing regulations. So the council would make that decision, and there's a public process by which they consider these things. What I will say to the listeners is the Fish and Game Council, they meet every second Tuesday of the month. Our staff runs those meetings, and there's, you know, fairly open dialogue on conversations around hunting regulations, fishing regulations. And if people go to our website and look up Fish and Game Council, the schedule, you can see when the meetings are. And you can patch in remotely
all
to
right.
listen in. You can't give comment unless you're in person. But that's the way those things work. It works it up through the Fish and Game Council, and they'll consider regulation changes.
And there we go. Joining us on the line again is Dave Golden. Listeners, njfishandwildlife.com. Go to the hunting link. Go to the black bear. The photo right there to black bear. Anything and everything you need to know about the Jersey bear season. Again, five bear hunting zones. Zone two. And Sussex County, that is the hot zone, but there are plenty of bears to go around, plenty of permits available. Indeed, a quality hunting experience. Jersey bears are second to none. Been to North Carolina, saw those bears. Used to live in Maine, saw those bears. Saw bears in a lot of places. Jersey, our bears are boss, man. Okay, Dave, like I said, our Jersey bears are the boss. Can we go into some of the weights here of some of these Bruins that are tagged in New Jersey? Dave, go.
Yeah, sure. You want to talk about boss bears? What I can give you, the three largest bears, the weights that we had from last year. So the two largest came from Warren County. Mm-hmm. We had one that weighed in at 567 pounds. The next largest was 554 pounds. And then our third largest from 2023 was a 517-pound bear checked in Morris County. So,
doggies, we got some big Bruins. And Dave, now I understand there was one tagged that was closer to 700 mark. Is that true? It was in the Digest a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, well, I mean over the years we've had some really large bears,
and you wonder where they go.
Yeah, the Pope and Young record bear for archery was taken in New Jersey.
Jersey bears rule. Dave, thanks for joining us so much. How's the family? Everything good, man?
Everything's great. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks again
for all your support for the agency.
You got it, man. We'll have you see you on the field or on the stream or on a lake one of these days. I know you're all over the place. Listen, this guy hunts and fishes his ass off. When he's not working on it, he's actually doing it. And Dave, that's so refreshing, man. It's like the entire Fish and Wildlife crew. Dave, you take care. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Tom P.
See you, man. Yeah, njfishandwildlife.com. Go to the hunting section, go to the bears, everything and everything you need to know about. We have some great bear hunting in New Jersey coming up. You know, there's a bill out there working its way through the system to ban, you know, feeding bears, putting out bait, putting out anything. Will it affect deer hunting down the line? We shall see with Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia, Republican, 24th District. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious weekend of October 5th and 6th. Hey again, people, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM. By the way, South Jersey's number one rated talk show station. Also, WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked in the 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message. 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, or go to Spotify, YouTube, Apple, and the Rack and Fin Radio message is there. Okay, glorious now statewide archery deer season is on next week, as we had Dave Gold on earlier talking about the bear season. Okay, segment one. Now, there is a bill, an insidious bill, sneaking its way through the assembly. It is A360, which will, in effect, okay, so Tom Peter talking about bears again. Here's why. This involves, in a roundabout way and to the point, baiting. Okay, you bait for deer. Bear have been seen in all 21 counties. I've seen them down in Cape May since the late 90s. Okay, they're in Cumberland. They're all over the state. You bait for bear. You put out corn. You're not targeting bear, but you're putting out something that can attract bears. Well, there's an assemblywoman in the Republican District 24 up there in Sussex County, parts of Sussex, more on Hunting and whatever. And, remember Allison Littell-McHose? Way back when, she was a stalwart on Rack and Fin protecting hunters' rights. Her name is Dawn Fantasia. She was on a YouTube segment that just absolutely scorched the proponents of this bill. Now, there are 13 sponsors. 99.9% are Democrats. The one Republican, I know, part of Union County. That's just Michelle Matsakoutis. What are you doing to me? But that are sponsoring this bill, and it is a roundabout way eventually to outlaw baiting entirely. Remember I told you this years ago? Look beyond the end of your nose. Get your head out of your asses. The antis are on the move. Slowly but surely, like I said, like the radical Islamists, they don't care if it takes 500 years. They're going to eventually outlaw hunting. Here's a big tack. Who doesn't bait deer, really? Except the big clubs that drive. Who doesn't? Especially down here in South Jersey. So what are you going to do? If this happens, don't say you didn't see it coming. Join us online right now. Very special guest. First time, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. I met her a year ago at a New Jersey Outdoor Alliance dinner up there in Sussex County. What's that? Was that the Black Forest Inn or something? What a dynamo. Dynamo exponential to like the 10th degree. She's on the Rack and Fin line right now to talk about this and how she absolutely flamed on this testimony. Sorry, Dawn, I get a little verbose. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Dawn, when I read this, shout out to Scotty McGahey there from the NJOA who sent me this bill in its entirety. Dawn, this is scary. This is absolutely scary. Again, unintentional. They're how they parse the words, whatever. This whole thing, to me, again, I'm not the Chicken Little type people, but it's I can see it happening here. Eventually outlawing baiting, which what was the title of the YouTube thing? Outlaw baiting for bucks, meaning deer. So don't go into this. What is where'd this come from? Sponsor Sterling Stanley, Middlesex County. Don't go into this, please. And your opposition, you were absolutely stellar. And the other Republican there with you, I forget his name right now, but you guys were just from Passaic County, just right on. Go to it.
Well, when we saw this bill, especially being from District 24, which actually is Sussex, portions of Morris, and a little bit of Warren County, this bill smacks us in the teeth, the hunting community. I was very shocked to see the sponsors. Two of the prime sponsors are assembly members from Cliffside Park in East Brunswick, and quite ironically, and it didn't escape me, that in East Brunswick, their high school mascot is the Bears, and they play football, right? Yep. They play football, and our Bears play let's chase the woman to her mailbox or bite a child or kill a pet. So they really, you know, do not know what they are speaking of. You know, if you recall this original bill, this bill was sponsored by Northwestern New Jersey legislators in the 24th, and it was for intentional feeding of black bear. So now you have the anti-hunting activists. We had a frequent flyer who's been arrested in Sussex County for being a hunting obstructionist to the point of releasing bears from traps set by New Jersey Fish and Wildlife, arrested four times for this, was part of those who came and testified. So make no mistake, this bill is clearly, clearly backed by those who wish to eliminate hunting in all its forms.
Sure.
And they came, and another curious aspect was some of the bill sponsors did not even know what the bill contained. So they were focusing on garbage, and that's a whole nother piece that I can wax poetic on quite a bit by us. But we'll put that aside for a second. You actually had bill sponsors and even the head of our committee, a gentleman by the name of William Spearman, a very nice man, very distinguished, polite, and does listen. But he himself is a co-sponsor of the bill and was not aware that in the bill's statement, it said, it's explicitly stated that this would in effect eliminate or prohibit deer baiting.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have these legislators from urban areas, you know, with all of their Build-A-Bear workshops, because they have more of those than they actually have black bears. I question if they've even seen a black bear. And they are putting their name to legislation. And why do the anti-hunters go to them? They go to them because they get nowhere with those of us who live in the district who actually deal with the problem. So it's a very well orchestrated hit from the outside, and it can't stand. It can't stand.
Spearman, he's from Camden, Gloucester, correct? There's a district, correct. I think District 5.
That is correct.
And Dawn, what gets me on this whole thing is that, and I'm sure they're congratulating themselves, that this thing has legs, unfortunately. Is there a Senate bill, a coming Senate bill on this?
Companion, yeah. There will be a companion because obviously, no legislation can move just out of one house. Another huge problem for me, and I mean, I've lived in Sussex County since I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. We've seen bear incidents and conflicts exponentially increase, but seeing black bear, that's a non-event really up in Sussex County. You move mm-hmm. there, that's what you expect. But as far as this protecting your garbage, this bill is so outrageous that if you were to put your garbage out, even in a bear-proof can, even locked in a shed anywhere, if by any chance a bear is able to access that, and I can speak from my own personal experience, I used to live in one of the lake communities in Hardeston Township, right next to Franklin, where I live now, mm-hmm. and I had multiple claims with my homeowner's insurance company for damage to fences, for running headfirst through a shed, for denting my vehicle with a bear-proof can, throwing it off a retaining wall, that it was chained to a tree on top of a retaining wall mm-hmm. In order to open these cans. So the effectiveness of these cans, especially the ones that screw on, you can see videos of bears literally sitting and unscrewing the cans. It's asinine. But these cans are so expensive. The absolute cheapest discounted can that does not work that you can find is in the neighborhood of $149 to $159. The next step up is about $350, and then the gold standard for a large family can for your garbage is about $550. And what you are saying, in essence, is if you have homeowners all across this state, all across Northwest New Jersey, where a bear inadvertently is able to get to any food source if they break into your car, you get a warning first, and then you can be fined up to $1,000 per incident. And they did something very insidious in this bill as well. What they did is instead of directing those funds, which in my opinion is outrageously seized, instead of directing those funds to Fish and Wildlife, they want to create a system of Karens in your neighborhood that go around and monitor this and report it to your town. And your town is actually the recipient of those funds for any violation. So you'll see people, with tape measures measuring on, the elderly lady across the street. Is her bird feeder more than 10 feet up? Got to call the town. It's going to be like HOA on crack. So it is probably the most poorly written thing, piece of legislation that I've seen from people who literally have blinders on and have no concept. And I even asked in the meeting, I said, okay, how many of you have, your bear tag? How many of you have a deer tag, whatever? Not one person. I raised my hand. I said, I do. Mm-hmm. You're speaking about things that you have no concept of understanding.
Exactly. We're speaking with, she is great, someone with Dawn Fantasia, R24. It's a Republican up there in Sussex County. And something came across the newswire to me, people, about a week and a half ago. And it was a beautiful piece written, Urban Myth versus Rural Realities, How Detached Legislators Missed the Mark on Black Bear Management. One, to make the hunting wire, and also was on the outdoor wire, pretty heady. You have to really know your stuff. It was written by Assemblywoman Fantasia. One of the best, and on the ending paragraphs there, perfect. Hits it right on the head. Alternatively, perhaps the best solution would be relocating problem bears, problem in quotes, to Trenton or another large city represented by those staunch opponents, giving lawmakers and their respective constituents a real taste of the issues they are legislating for. Signed, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. You couldn't have said it any better, Assemblywoman.
Thank you. I mean, I also made the point, when there are issues that are statewide that involve, wildlife, look at South Jersey with the marine life concerns. We defer to our South Jersey friends to guide us, and they may approach us and say, would you join us in this important legislation? You don't see me proposing windmill legislation myself as a prime sponsor mm-hmm. for all of the dead whales washing up on the shores of Lake Mohawk in Sussex County, because we don't have shores. We have little lake communities. We don't have marine wildlife that's being, slaughtered by windmills. So again, my clear message, I don't think I could have been any clearer when I said, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Not one person came and had the discussion with anybody who's impacted by this. You have, districts where maybe they've had one or two bear sightings. In Sussex County alone this year, between sightings and incidents, actual mm-hmm. bear conflicts, we've had over 500.
Well, Dawn, in bear sightings, we were on our way back from a place in the Poconos, and I said, babe, let's cruise through one section of Water Gap where we like to camp sometimes, squirrel hunt up there. So a sow with four cubs right there, you know, Old Mine Road, mm-hmm. right there, right before yep. you get to Dingman's Bridge, Mettler Lane, that mm-hmm. whole area. And there they were, just troll right across, and it went to some soybean field or cornfield or something. And there you go. Sow with four. Wow. Multiply that by how many?
You make a great point, because there, you know, is no way to effectively non-lethally control the population that's effective. The other day, I was up in Warren County, and I was out on a four-wheeler foraging for chicken of the woods mushrooms. And I was out for 30 minutes, and I saw one sow with four cubs, and then I saw another sow with three cubs. And that was in a 30-minute period. So my point is, with, you know, all these antis with the non-lethal measures and contraception, lock up your garbage, look, it's twofold. You need to be smart around bears. You can't leave your things out. You have to put your garbage out on the morning of garbage day, not the evening before. You have to be careful. But in all honesty, it's ludicrous to me to fine us $1,000 when we are doing the best that we can. And this is just a thinly veiled attempt to eliminate hunting. And as legislators, we have received emails that have stated that as mm-hmm. such. They're not even hiding it. Stop the barbaric practice of blank. And mm-hmm. I laugh because I say these are the same people that say, oh, but the bears are so cute. Oh, hunting's so mean. Yet they'll go with their friends, you know, limousine liberals to a swanky restaurant and say, I'll have my filet medium rare.
There you
and
go.
That's
not it's coming full circle. It's going to be event. The goal is outlaw baiting. That's the first step. And then hunting goes, it's right. And the trapping is, there. That's constantly in the crosshairs. So, I just thank you for joining us on Rack and Vent. I just hope this thing can get blocked somehow. But who's the guy in the assembly? Scuteri, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. a dirtbag. He's from Union County. There you go. An Italian, too. That hurts my soul. But
the Italian aspect hurts my soul, too. But, you know, I can't share the sentiment about him because, honestly, I've never met the gentleman. But I'm hopeful that, you know, with the alliance of different, you know, groups and actually the scientists, like, you know, I see a trend. I mean, I've been in Trenton. It feels like a hot 10 minutes. This is my first term. Mm-hmm. But what I do see is political science trumping wildlife science. I see political science trumping medical science. I see political science driving everything that seems to be coming out of the other side against us and you know, and everything that we hold dear. So I think it's incredibly important that these groups all mobilize and really work to educate the other side. Again, I'm not saying that all of the sponsors that are on the bill are not amenable to amendments or even hearing our side. The troubling part is they put this forward without even discussing it with our side, discussing it with hunting groups, discussing it with our advocacy groups. So that's problematic.
And that's, listeners, again, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, yeah, these clubs here. But what happens, assemblyman, is that I don't hunt bears. I don't think they're ever going to stop baiting, and just leave it at that. And people don't get involved, even
correct.
If it's a matter of just cutting a checklist for $25 or $35, sending in. That's because you need the money. You need the time to be in Trent. Shout out to Tommy Connors from the NJOA. Wade Stein from the Federation of Sports, they're constantly battling, constantly there. But sometimes, or most of the time, it seems, when it comes to the hunting of bears, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and it falls on deaf ears when you try to explain the science of it.
That's very frustrating, very accurate. And I'm fortunate on that committee. I have Assemblyman Brian Bergen. He lives in Denville, and he covers part of Morris County as well. And he's lockstep with me. I mean, we were a 1-2 punch in that meeting, and we're not going to back off this. We're not.
Assemblyman, thanks for your great work. Freshman in the assembly, she kicks ass. Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia, R24. Don't you be a stranger to Rack and Fin Radio. By the way, doing the mushroom things. Can you, off the air, sometime, I'll come, can you give me a good recipe for that chicken of the woods things? I made it came out like a football.
Absolutely. You know what? They're so good. The best is with venison loin. Oh, my absolute favorite. Venison loin with chicken of the woods. You make a little gravy. I can send you something. If you send me your email, I'll tell you how to do it. Yeah, it's so good.
Mary, mother of God, I just broke out in a sweat. Okay. So, Fantasia, good luck in Trenton. You're in the you're in the pit of vipers here, young lady. Keep kicking ass.
Thank you so much.
Take care. We'll see you soon. By the way, thanks to Luke Crescitelli, the main man, the guy.
Yes, he's wonderful.
We'll see you later.
All right, take care.
Yep. Okay, baiting is in pun intended, people, in the crosshairs. I don't know how embarrassed I'm being. I'll go up to North Jersey. Who cares about that? It's coming. Band baiting, and then, whoa, there goes the harvest number. There goes, what's that thing from Josie Wells? Chief Dan George there by the stagecoach with the Comancheros. Hell is coming to breakfast. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. Israel ramping up airstrikes against Hezbollah in Beirut, Lebanon. Fox's Trey Yanks has the latest from Israel.
They're focusing in on the Dahya neighborhood, the Hezbollah stronghold in the southern part of the city. And we understand that more strikes are expected in the hours ahead as Israeli forces try to go after the weapons storage facilities around Beirut.
The strikes cut off the border crossing between Syria and Lebanon, which Israel claims Hezbollah was using to ferry weapons. The U.S. Labor Department says an unexpected 254,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy in September. President Biden.
The nation has now created 16 million jobs since I've come to office. More jobs created in a single presidential term than any time in American history.
Unemployment dropping 0.1 point to 4.1%. The new numbers easing concerns about a weakening labor market. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, some clouds and sunshine in the area with a high of 81. Tonight, clear skies, low 49. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and nice with a high of 77. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a shower in spots late, low 59. On Monday, partly sunny and pleasant, high 77. Monday night, partly cloudy skies, low 48. On Tuesday, sunny to partly cloudy and delightful, high 71. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 5th and 6th. You all the banner about the hunting, hunting, hunting. Not letting the windmill thing go. Remember the interview with Jack Cittarelli? Hopefully the future governor of the state of New Jersey. Totally against the windmills and the impact. Tourism. Environment. And more importantly, from the Rack and Fin Radio corner here, our little parallel universe, the fishing, recreational and commercial, the negative impacts. Tom P., really. And what gets my ass in the air, some, again, they're maybe getting paid, who knows, that's their business. Charter boat captains who have come out in favor of the windmills, but you can't get an answer from them. What's the access going to be, whatever. Went to the well right here. Great recommendation. On the line with us right now. Patiently waiting is Mike Johnson, Sea Farmer Incorporated as a commercial operation, also as charter boats, Sea Farmer Charters, based out of Barnegat Light. The man sees it from both ends, commercial and recreational, the highly negative impact these windmills, wind farms, turbine, whatever the hell you want to call these monstrosities, will impact, especially New Jersey's shoreline. Again, the tourism, whatever. But the fishing, how it's going to impact both the commercial and the recreational fishing. Mike, very short notice, but thanks for coming on Rack and Fin. Glad to make your acquaintance, albeit over the phone. Hey, we're going to have to go fishing sometime. But, Mike, let's get into it. You're staunchly against this, and you made one comment. Hey, Tom B, it's going to really save the planet. I might think about it. But you're seeing nothing but negatives from both businesses, correct?
Yeah, Tom, I do. And this is just, you know, coming kind of on the admission of the wind developers that, you know, the positive impact on our environment or whatever is going to be, you know, negligible. It's going to be, you know, not even really on the radar, you know, and, you know, this is the positive impact of it. This is just what they're admitting to. And, you know, and it's not helping anything. I mean, you know, it's going to have a negligible impact on climate change, environment, greenhouse gas emissions, and, you know, everybody's electric bills are going to, you know, go up.
Through
down.
The friggin' stratosphere. Hey, Johnson, well, you know, Mike, you know, you're a businessman. Money makes the rules. And there are billions of dollars tied up in this. And I'll tell you, they're not going to go now and out of fight. Somebody's company's already sniffing around for the Ørsted lease.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about, I mean, money. And unfortunately, you know, it's not money that's going into our pockets. It's money that's going to be coming out of our pockets, you know, and I just don't see the justification for this. I mean, it's all, you know, it's just driven by money because it's so backwards, the whole thing. I mean, if you think about it, you know, they're already admitting, like, yeah, it's going to negatively impact, I mean, marine mammal life, bird life. I mean, they're going to put these things right in a migratory path. I mean, right whale, humpback whales. And I can tell you, as a commercial fisherman, you know, if we interact with any protected, endangered, threatened species, we are done. We are shut down. Protected resources trumps all. And that's us being food providers. Now we're going to have these outfits, and they're basically going to give them carte blanche, like, oh, it's okay. You know, we know you might whack a few right whales or, you know, disrupt the, you know, migratory pattern of these things. And not to mention every other species of fish that's going to try to migrate to our coast. And, you know, they're going to put a forest of these windmills up. I mean,
Mike, the tearing up of the bottom, you know, the substrate, the whole bit. Now, shellfish and finfish, this impact is going to be, and more importantly to me, the opportunity, the commercial and recreational opportunity, one, from the one end, make a living, and two, to enjoy something you love doing. Now, you've been doing this 40 years, you've been saying, which is pretty impressive. And you said you want to be a fisherman since you were a little kid. And this has to be making you crazy.
Oh, it does, Tom. I mean, it's all I ever wanted to do when I was a kid was fish. I mean, I fished pretty much out of here, out of Long Beach Island, out of Barnegat Light all my life. I grew up as a little kid. I mean, you know, fishing off the docks here. I mean, you know, working on the headboats, fishing on the headboats when I was just barely, you know, big enough they'd let me on the boat. And so I begged I wanted to be a charter boat and a headboat mate, you know, and, you know, it's all I ever wanted to do. I mean, I used to love it. Like I was saying before, I told some people before, you know, I used to, you know, steam out in the morning when I started commercial fishing. If we were steaming out in the morning, the sun be coming up and you're drinking your coffee, you'd be looking out at the horizon thinking, you know, I got a really cool office here. What's the picture going to look like out my office window now when I'm steaming offshore and there's an absolute jungle of these windmills out there with their blades spinning around?
Well, Mike, how do you see the navigation problems? It's going to be a nightmare.
It's going to be a nightmare. I mean, you know, accidental collisions or whatever. I mean, fatigue plays in and, you know, boats transiting back and forth. I mean, you know, you're talking in a jungle of these things. I mean, I was alarmed at the numbers I saw, you know, when I really saw the presentation. And this is presentation given by the wind farm people. Like, this is what they're admitting to. I mean, 2,400 of these things? I mean, and the impact, I mean, when they're driving these pilings and all that and driving this stuff in the bottom, I mean,
I can see scalloping, clam, everything just going down the toilet or being so severely impacted, the boat's giving up. I can't make a living here. Oh, but we're going to subsidize. We're going to give you some money. I forget who the gentleman was, the captain from LBI. He said, I don't want a handout. I want to work. My guys don't want a handout. They want to work. I don't know who that was, but that hit you right between the eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, money makes the world go round, but it's also, you know, most people that are fishermen are in it because, you know, it's a passion. I mean,
it's
whether
the
you're
love of the game, man.
Or commercially. I mean, we're all, you know, we recreationally, commercially, you know, for hire guys. Like, yeah, maybe we, you know, don't always see things, you know, exactly the same, but fundamentally,
exactly.
You know, we all do it because it's a passion, right? And it's not about the money, right? I mean, you know, it's a passion, you know. Yep. I mean, whether you're doing it for fun, whether you're doing it for work, I mean,
it's a passion. It's a lifestyle. It's in your genetics. It was on the line right now is Mike Johnson, owner of Sea Farmer Incorporated, commercial business out of Barnegat Light, also owner of this charter business, Sea Farmer Charters. And we're talking the windmills, the impact, the negative impact. I don't see any positive impact on these whatsoever, except a lot of people getting wealthy. And not a lot of people, but select people, especially foreign companies. And I'm a capitalist to the end. Money, 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 make the profit. That's what, again, as Mike said, makes the world go round. But hey, right now you're affecting communities, you're affecting your incomes, you're affecting everything. I don't see any benefit to this. Powers millions and millions of homes. Where? And at what cost? And Mike, like you said, again, one more shout out to Jimmy Donofrio, former executive director, Recreational Fishing Alliance, years ago, when he said, People don't realize how this is going to make their bills go through the friggin' roof.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it. You're seeing it, yep.
I mean, they're admitting to all the negatives of it. I mean, if that's what they're admitting to, it's probably going to be worse than that. That's what they're
right, but Mike, to me that shows the hubris. It's going to go through, so live with it. Yeah, this is what's going to happen, and that's what my fear is, because these are monoliths. I mean, you're able to get Orsted to back out. That was amazing. But can you put the genie, get that second shot of the genie out of the bottle again?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. I mean, these are, you know, multinational foreign interests here. I mean, in billions and billions and billions of dollars. I mean, and they're just going to, you know, they're just ramming it down our throats or ramming it into our seafloor, as the case may be.
Good point.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like standing there, you know, throwing a rock at a tank, right? I mean, you know, you feel like a student in Tiananmen Square in China. You know, I'm going to stop that tank, you know, like, well.
Hey, wait, were you there when Waltz was there? I'm sorry, that was a little non sequitur. But, Mike, we're up against a break here.
Tom, I would have been, but I think I was out fishing.
Point well taken. Mike, again, from a grassroots level, which these groups did an incredible job, I was saying good luck with that, but you're banging your head against the wall. They got it stopped once. What can the recreational, commercial, anyone with an interest in preserving the Jersey Shore as we know and love it, what can you do? Are there any organization that you're involved with that can help, you know, you can join, get something going?
I mean, I guess it's really just try to contact, I mean, your congressmen, your local politicians, I mean, just, you know, your friends, and try and, you know, make some noise about this, you know. And, you know, I got to say, even myself, I mean, I was, you know, when I really saw the presentation of, like, some really hard numbers on these things, that's when I really, like, really got alarmed about it. I mean, it really, when I was thinking about it, I mean, it, you know, it was kind of a tearjerker, you know.
Sure.
Looking at the pictures they're putting up, and this is provided by the wind developers. This isn't somebody's, you know, apocalyptic vision. This is what they're providing us.
Listen, it's a matter. Go to Google up New Jersey legislators, Senate, Assemblyman, find out who your rep is. Call and say it's a matter of just a phone call, even an email. I'll tell you, the petitions, I don't think really petitions have any. Well, I guess, yeah, I think we could sign a petition. Even an email, handwritten letter, you're against the windmill. Just something. Grassroots can, if you did it once, you can do it again. Getting a second strike out of that bottle, everyone's hoping for. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. By the way, as busy as you are, do you get a chance to fish for fun yourself, or are you just too damn busy with both ends of the business?
Well, Tom, if I'm not fishing, you know, for work or running charters, I mean, I'm out fishing for fun. If I'm not out fishing for fun, I'm, you know, if it's too windy to fish, I'll probably be in the woods hunting, you know. So, I mean.
Hey, listen, man. How's, you know, deer season going? What do you got? You been out?
A little slow so far, you know. You know, I just, you know how it goes. You know, we don't pattern the deer pattern up.
That's so true. No matter what kind of set you use, no matter your best stand, no matter the equipment, the deer have the upper hoof, so to speak. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. Very short notice. I found a commercial and recreation guy, 2-in-1. This is a 1-2 combination. Listen, Mike Johnson, he has it right there.
Pleasure you having me in any time, man. I'll be glad to do it again. You know, spread the word.
Hey, whoa, how about some suds and a burger at Kubel's?
Yeah, there you go. My wife used to work there. Now she's at the diner in Barney at Light.
Oh, well, we'll go there. That'll work.
Okay, well, I'm here. I live right here. I mean, I live in town. I mean, this is all, I guess, my little nucleus here, right? I mean.
Oh, so yeah, because every once in a while I hop on them as Barney at Light, Captain Lenny and Captain Lou. Fun group.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm two blocks from there. I grew up with those guys, and that's where I started working as a mate on a charter boat when Lenny was still a mate. You know, it's
Lenny. Yeah. God bless Lenny. I tell you, he's. I'm going to see him in the U.S. Open pretty soon. Lenny, it's a shout out, man. Keep at that golf game.
He just left for a canyon trip. I just heard him roll out. I mean, watch everybody come and go. I live right on the Bay Road here. You know, my boat's at Viking Village. My Stevie's across the street, the marina from my house. And, you know, it's all about right here, you know.
So. Yeah, you take care, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, Tom. sir.
Bye. Mike Johnson, right there. Commercial business and charter business sees what these things will do. He's only one small. Yes. Like the drop in the bucket thing. Well, you get enough drops in the bucket, you fill the friggin' bucket. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep, that is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
On day 185, LLS helped me file my insurance claims properly.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Hey, wrapping it up the weekend of October 5th and 6th on Rack and Fin Radio here. And last but not least, as a reminder, hey, don't forget, October 19th, a few weeks away. It's what an incredible event. It's the first annual inaugural Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot. Ed was a frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio, former president of the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. He was a trustee, the whole bit. It's going to be Saturday, October 19th, starts at 9 a.m. where the Great Red Wings Sporting Clays, Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. Shout out to Roger and Danny Guyberson and that crew, a great crew. The NJOA, fighting for your rights, hunting, fishing, trapping, and the outdoors in New Jersey. And a shout out to the New Jersey Federated Sports. We all need to stick together on this. $75 donation per person includes 100 rounds of sporting clay shot at 15 stations. Watch that one over to Mullica. I don't care who you are, man. You're not going to get all those birds, especially if the wind's kicking up. Those things are, they're hitting 150 miles an hour. I'm telling you. Oh, and lunch and cold drinks. Enjoy a ball cap for each shooter. Event sponsors, Garrison Architects out of Belmar, Atlanta County Game Preserve, Losses of John Zarek. Shout out to John Zarek down the hall there. Harry Hurley's a frequent guest, DW Extreme Tree Cutting and Atlanta County Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. Let's talk about this event. And I agree, John Regalo, the standing president right now, the NJOA. If he can squeeze in some time to talk about this A360 who we had Dawn Fantasia, similar woman Dawn Fantasia on earlier in the show. Sorry, John, man, a little verbose. What's happening, brother?
Oh, not a whole lot. Good to hear you.
How's this event coming up, man? This is things pouring in. This is listen, $75, and it's going to a great cause. It's going to be a great time. Go, John. What's happening?
Well, the NJOA, they've had this shoot annually. We do two fundraisers a year. Mm-hmm. One is the shoot down south. The other is a game dinner up north at the Black Forest Inn in Stanhope. This was a huge event that Eddie played a big part in coordinating and getting it done every year. And the guys unanimously voted to rename the event. It is now the Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot, NJOA sponsored, and we're looking to for this year and many more. We're looking for a good turnout. It's so far looking good. Hopefully, we get blessed with good weather as well.
Yeah, so some guys signing up again. Shout out to Scotty McGahey and Big Tommy Connors there at the decoy show. They were signing up people there. It's a great event for a great cause at a great facility. John, briefly, we don't have much time. The NJOA, you guys are the cog in the protecting the hunting and fishing and trapping rights engine in New Jersey. How do you guys keep it going?
Well, it's a lot of guys that are, you know, none of us, we're all volunteers. We don't get paid to do this. But our love and desire to keep our traditions and the rights to do what we do here in New Jersey going forward. And the only way to do that is to actually get involved, interact with the legislators on our behalf. The Bear Bill, the A360 Bear Bill, was a perfect example where a legislator put a bill forward without first consulting the sportsmen, talk to us here at the NJOA to see what negative impacts, you know, intentional or unintentional, it would have had a huge negative impact for deer hunters in New Jersey.
Absolutely. That guy, what's his name, Sterling Stanley, I think he was told not to. My opinion, people, my opinion, maybe told not to. But, John, this is a critical. This is critical, as Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia said. John, other thing, too, again, listeners, it's a phone call, it's an email, even a handwritten letter. Just contact your respective legislator. John, another thing the NJOA is hard at work on is freshwater fishing access. Could you have we have a minute or two to go, John. Go into that, please.
Yes, that's A-1504 Lake Access Bill. And what that would do is create a permanent funding source annually for freshwater lake access. Currently, we're working on the one up at Greenwood Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's almost appalling that we stock that lake with fish for the public.
Right.
And there is no good public boating access. The plans have just been drawn up. They're moving forward with it. And we look forward to seeing the opening of that ramp probably in the near future.
And, John, there are waters here in South Jersey that are on the radar here that access is extremely difficult, if not impossible, yet they're public waterways.
Yes, it's very unfortunate. It's a statewide phenomenon. This goes back to
New Jersey.
the acquisitions under the Green Acres Act.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of money for acquisition, but they never looked at maintenance or improving infrastructure for public access. Those types of things need to be addressed. Hopefully this bill will move that along.
Well, the listeners, again, Saturday, October 19th, in a couple of weeks, the first annual Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot, aptly renamed Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot. It's just a great guy, just a fantastic individual. Sign-ins at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. starts promptly at 9 a.m. Rain date is Saturday, October 26th. $75 gets you 100 rounds of sporting clays. Bring your own ammo at 15 stations, lunch and cold drinks, NJOA baseball cap, and you're helping the organization that is the fore of protecting the rights of hunters, anglers, and trappers in New Jersey. Hey, Johnny Regalo, acting president, don't be a stranger on Rack and Fin, man. I'm going to get you on as much as Eddie. Uh-oh, look out.
Uh-oh. Thank you much, and I look forward to talking with you again.
I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks, brother. Just remember, double up on the food, because when Tom P's in the house, in the area, look out. You can ask McGahee about that one. You take care.
You have a good day.
See you, brother. That'll for do this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Well, get out and enjoy the funky weather. It's like a diarrhea cramp. Just kept occurring. It's hopefully clearing out. We shall see. Just get out and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next weekend. Rack and Fin Radio.